The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture, more so than in other industrialized nations.
We now invite you to listen to the following discussion with Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members entitled The Paradoxical Nature of Things in Seattle, Washington, USA in April 1993.
Beautiful, the outer appearance is not long lasting.
This is a protection, you see? Yeah. Similarly, it's not my hands, you know that, yeah? My hand is more beautiful. In case some of you came for the first time, don't be shocked. I'm always like that. And we laugh all the time, and we have good sense of humor. Yeah? So don't worry. Just laugh with us, and then you will see how wonderful you feel afterward. Or immediate enlightenment. If we couldn't get enlightenment immediately, at least we could laugh immediately. That would be the best medicine for everyone. Okay? So, you see, my hands are like this, but my gloves are different. Yeah? So therefore, the real us is different than what we apparently appear to the people. When we work in this world, of course, we have to wear this kind of gloves, yeah? To protect ourselves from the very rough atmosphere of this world. Just like we dive deep into the sea, we have to put on wetsuit. Yeah. And we look very ugly. And our nose is so big and square. And the face is swollen and plastic-like. Yeah. And the two eyes look round, black and horrible. Yeah. And our whole body is black. Yeah. And nothing of the shape, yeah, that we have. And the skin is plastic, yeah. But that's not our real selves, yeah? And when she comes out and takes off the wetsuit, she become a beauty blonde again, yeah, for example. Or brunette, please, brunette is also beautiful. So similarly, if we do not know ourselves, we will identify us with the apparent body and we suffer with it. For example, if we wear the wetsuit very long and the wetsuit has a hole in it, yeah, and then we think we have a hole. If the wetsuit became crumpled, yeah, by heat or by too much pressure in the sea, underwater, then we thought we are crumpled, yeah, our skin crumpled. But it is not the real you. Yes. That's why when we know our true self, we remember our true selves before we put on this kind of strange looking clothes, then we are happy. Yeah? Therefore, the initiates people, our fellow practitioners, are very happy. Rain or shine, they are always shining. Yes, because they remember their perfect self, at least off and on. Yeah. During meditation or when they sleep, when the master secretly took them to their own home where they enjoy all comfort and beauty of their true nature. Today we visit Lao Tzu's world, see what he has inside. You see, I always close my eyes and pray to the inner master and open it to see what I have to speak today. Therefore, don't blame me if it's a wrong chapter for you. Now, today, I was out of juice for talk. So I opened my saving wisdom book. You see, if we have any inspiration therefrom. Correct English, sir? Yes. I speak Chinese and eat Vietnamese food every day. And my Occidental atmosphere and link become weak. Just like we are swimming in this world too long and our tie with heaven become a little weakened. Yeah? Weakened. So we have to strengthen it, yeah, by coming in now and again to reinforce our energy and our recognition of our own greatness. Okay? Now, okay, we go to Lao Tzu. He's supposed to be very wise. Chapter 19, Lao Tzu, Tao Te Ching. Give up sainthood, renounce wisdom, and it will be 100 times better for everyone. He means renounce knowledge. Yeah? Give up self-righteousness, renounce knowledge, and it will be 100 times better for everyone. It is a correct Chinese translation. He translated a little bit different. It's not sainthood, it's not wisdom. It is give up self-righteousness and renounce knowledge. It means the worldly accumulated information. And second, give up kindness, renounce morality, and men will discover filial piety and love. Give up ingenuity, renounce profit, and bandits and thieves will disappear. These three are outward forms alone. They are not sufficient in themselves. It is more important to see the simplicity, to realize one's true nature, to cast off selfishness and temper desire. So I will pretend that I understand something, and you try to pretend also to believe that I understand. In this case, we are more cooperative, and at least the atmosphere is harmonious, all right? Now we try to go through one by one. How come Lao Tzu tell us that we should give up sainthood or self-righteousness and renounce wisdom or knowledge? Yes. And it will be 100 times better for everyone. Now, ordinary people we think we have to achieve sainthood. Yeah, we have to achieve righteousness. Yeah, saintly like. Yes. And we have to pursue wisdom. And then the world will be better, right? Yes. We should spread all this righteousness and knowledge to other people. Then the world will be peaceful and the world will be more better and better and etc. And here he said no, he said the opposite. So what is the purpose of this saying? Do you understand? Who understand? So, you pretend to be humble. All right. So, since everyone is so humble, I have to take up the bad name as being proud. I try to to clarify something. Give up sainthood, renounce wisdom, and it will be 100 times better for everyone. Now, normally people think to eat vegetarian, to worship the scriptures, to give charity, to love thy neighbor, these are the quality of sainthood. And to learn by heart many different sutras, holy scriptures, and being able to expound it to different kind of inquirers, they think these are the sign of sainthood. And thinking this way, they are bound to be very proud of their so-called holy quality. Understand? So many of the people going in this direction, thinking that is the end to all means. That's the problem with the world. That's why Lao Tzu said to us, give up sainthood, the so-called sainthood. Because the true saint doesn't know that he's a saint. Well, he may say so, you know, in some moment of of humor or just to confirm something. But he himself never think that he is a great saint. Because sainthood is not a feeling. It's not a definition. It is just a self-being. It's just a very natural being. Just like the sun. Its nature is shining and give warmth, give growth to all things. Now you suppose the sun sit there all day long and say, I am the sun, I am the life giver of all things, I am warm, I am great. Will that be funny? Can you imagine the sun? Yeah? Sticking his nose into the sky and saying this to himself all day long? It wouldn't be the sun anymore, right? The sun is like that. There's no comparison, no praise for it. And no analyzing about the sun. The sun is just the way it is. Similarly, a Buddha or a saint, it is a way of life. It is true way of being. So when you are in the true way of life, you don't feel that you are true. You don't feel that you are anything greater than others, because you are also part of life anyhow. Whether saint or common beings, we are all part of life. And then we see things in a very different manner. For example, when we were small children, we sometimes being proud of grown up a little bit higher than the other children, or being more intelligent in the class. Oh, I'm having a better hair than you. But when we grow up, we don't compare anymore, right? All of us are grown up. And then we look at the children with a different way, you know? We do not care who grows up, who doesn't grow, who is tall, who is small, and because we have been from children, and we know one day they will grow up. In the children, there is a potential adulthood, you see? And we do not stay there and worrying about the children. Right? We know they will grow. We try our best to guide them into adulthood, but we have no longer this kind of competitive attitude like we had when we were children. Understand? Therefore, similarly, a saint, he has just maybe graduated into the university of life and understood what he should understand. But there's nothing big deal about being a so-called saint, because he know it is the only way, it is the natural way that people will grow up and become adult. There's nothing to be proud of that you've grown up and become an adult, right? It's just a natural process of life that we grow up and be a fully grown human being, yeah? And each one just grow gradually and not feeling proud about it. Maybe we feel proud when we first a teenage or something. We reach 21st and we can vote for president, for example. And we feel, now I can do what I want without too much controlling from the parents. Probably the first time we feel a little proud, but later on we're too busy doing our adult things that we have no more competitive feeling about who is more grown up and who is less. Yeah? Therefore, a saint would never think of himself as a saint. Sometimes, maybe he has a sense of surprise that how come other people are like me, but they act in such a strange way. Why do not they know their own saintliness? Yes. Why they walk this way, further away from their home, instead of walking this way, go home quicker. Maybe like that, yeah? But no sense of pride. Therefore, if anyone who follow whichever path and even keep the precepts or is vegetarian or learn the sutras, I mean the holy scriptures by heart and try to understand the verbal vocabularies therein, but still has a very proud sense of being holy, then know that this is not a true saint. And if we are one of them, of course we should know also our level is still very far away from sainthood. Therefore, I have told you many times, being vegetarian is no big deal, because the horse, the cows, the elephants are all vegetarian. Yeah? You are too late coming to be vegetarian. They are born vegetarian. And they die vegetarian. Probably next time come back being vegetarian again. So what's the big deal about being vegetarian? That you have to even argue. Understand? Being a vegetarian is just a way of life. It's just to, because we have to rediscover our own compassion for all beings, which is already there and we have forgotten. Just like a diamond is hidden in the mud or inside the rock, and we have to rediscover it, all right? It's already good quality. Also, meditation is no big deal. Everything attracts us. And therefore, the way we meditate is not the way of the saint. But anyhow, we try our best. And this is what counts in the kingdom of God. Because God, Buddha, is very generous. They are our loving parents. And when they see the children trying hard, they say, it's all right, give them 10. Give them give them an A. So probably the only time you are truly in contact with God or the Buddha nature is when you sleep. And the master came secretly, pull you out of the material attachment without you even know it. Woo to me, to the master or anyone, that let your mind know that you're going. And your mind will immediately wake up and say, oh, where are you going? What for? What's wrong with here? Yeah? And then they cause a lot of trouble and you struggle and you're bound to the material level of understanding, and we never can pass through into a higher, nobler kind of existence. So therefore, we know our path is a path of grace. See? The path of loving and of mercy. Despite our shortcomings, our tired physical and mental condition, when we sit in the so-called devotion to God, God of Buddha nature still helps us, still loves us, because we try in our very difficult situation and very waking karmic atmosphere of the earth. We try to go beyond it. We try to devote our best to God. Therefore, we have marks, yeah, we have good points. And we pass examination anytime with flying color. Now, if we are still proud of our practice, of our meditation, of our vegetarian, if our knowledge with our way of virtuous life, then we are still nowhere, okay? In the beginning, all right, it's allowed. But the further we go from the earthly existence, the higher, the nobler we have to be. And we just be inside the light without even knowing it. You understand? For example, when you first learn to meditation, sometimes when the master come near and touch you and you too much shock, electric, too much. But later on, you're so deep into the higher self. That's the best, better, okay? Most of the people, many of the people in the world, they are proud of their holiness. But it is only apparent holiness. Yeah? To do penance, to go on pilgrimages, to worship the Buddha in a temple, to give donation to the monks or to charity, these are done with sometimes not very pure motive. Just to be proud of oneself. That is because the mind cheats us. And once we are proud of these things, we have no more merits. The mind will collect it inside and make it become a kind of material information. Then no more of the noble character that's supposed to go with charity or sainthood, okay?
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in tomorrow for part 2 of The Paradoxical Nature of Things. Healthy Living is up next on Supreme Master Television. Please stay tuned, and may your days be filled with joy and spiritual insights.